You know, it's when we sing, we want to sing songs that are magnifying to our Lord and scriptural. Those last two were. And in that first one, I was looking at those words and thinking, that's a quote. I'd have to look it up. That last line in the chorus. You know, if you just listen and let the Spirit of God, through the Word of God, let God's Word defend itself. God's Word is God's Word, and it's right. It's alive. Here's what this last line said that we sang, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." And let me tell you what that didn't say. It didn't say to have everlasting life you must believe first. It didn't say that. It says, "He that believeth on the Son." Here's the evidence of having everlasting life. God Almighty gives life. He makes a man new. He makes a woman new. He calls them out of darkness. He gives them a new heart. He gives them a new light, a life, mind, eyes, ears, will. And they believe. The evidence of life is belief. That's the evidence. That second one, "Pass me not." I'm telling you, every believer says that. "Lord, don't pass me by." And only a believer will say that. A believer knows something of God's sovereignty and God's will, God's purpose. And that's what he says, "Lord, don't pass me by." Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. I'd like to look at one verse of Scripture tonight. Actually, I'd like to look at the last few words of one verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4. I want to read the third verse, then we'll have a word of prayer. But I'm actually preaching tonight on the last line of this verse. Let's read the third verse, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3. "For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest." And here's what I want to preach on right here. "Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Let's pray together. Our Father, this evening we approach you only in and through and by our great high priest. We realize that, Lord, there's no approaching you without a priest, without a mediator, without an advocate, without him who is altogether holy, God Almighty, the Word, and man. Father, help us tonight to worship. Help us to hear. Lord, direct this service, I pray. Order my thoughts. Help me as I preach. Bless the word to our understanding and all of our comfort and peace. Lord, honor yourself. Thank you for letting us be here tonight. Thank you for the privilege to be able to be in the house of the Lord, assemble ourselves together. Lord, if this be the last time we ever meet together, oh, bless this word. I pray you'd call out your people. Save our children. Lord, I pray for our families, our pray, Lord, that You'd have mercy according to Your everlasting will and purpose. We look to You and wait upon You and know that without You we can do nothing. Thank You for Christ's sake. Amen. The last time we looked in the book of Hebrews, we started this third verse. This is where I was preaching, and I preached through, and I just didn't finish that last line. The apostle starts, "For we which have believed do enter into rest." Now, we know that there's a future rest. We know that there's an eternal rest. A rest from the presence of sin, and a rest from the trials and tribulations of this world. No more tears, no more trouble. Eternal rest. But that rest that we do look forward to begins in this life. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:22. Let me show you 2 Corinthians 1:22. Let me show you how this rest, 2 Corinthians 1:22. "Who hath sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." Now, the only way that we are able to rest from our laboring to try to establish our own righteousness. And that's what it is. Let me tell you, rest. Do you know what the rest of a believer is? It's regeneration. God calling a man, a woman, out of darkness. And by the grace of God, they realize the Lord Jesus Christ has finished the work. And what's left to do? If He's finished the work, it's finished. It's finished. Obedience to the law of God that I could never do, because of the weakness of my flesh, how can I obey God? You see, we just don't realize the seriousness of obedience before God. I'm talking about one infraction. You know, to disobey in one point. If I ever thought anything, if one thought ever entered my mind in a disobedient, I've broken the whole law of God. And there's no reprieve. Ain't no going back on that. No plea bargaining here. Soul is sinned, it's going to die. When the Spirit of God, in regenerating grace, quickens a man. That man, by the grace of God, knows something. And we do grow in grace. We don't grow in sanctification. If we just understood what sanctification means, it means holiness. Sanctification, saints, sanctified. That word means separated, holy. You don't grow in holiness. Christ is our sanctification. But we do grow in grace and in the knowledge. Now, we're learning something. You know, And I want to learn. I want to be taught. I want to search these scriptures and I want to find out something. I want to know what does the Lord have to say. So God's people do enter into rest. We rest. Rest from our trying to establish a righteousness. You see, I'm resting. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Let me ask you this. Are you resting in your faith? Or are you resting in Christ? My question is this. Do you find a rest in your heart because you believed? Then you're resting in your faith, and that we don't look to faith. Faith didn't die for us. Faith didn't lay down his life for us. Christ did. Faith is the grace by which we look to him. He is our rest. He is our rest. In regeneration, we perceive that Christ is our rest. We don't rest in our rest. We don't rest in our faith. We don't rest in our baptism. We don't rest in our profession. We don't rest in our church membership. We rest in Christ. This is what we believe. That the Lord Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the world, entered into an everlasting covenant. Father, Son, Spirit. And the triune God, in an everlasting covenant of grace, God purposed to show mercy. And in time, God calls his elect out of darkness, and they realize salvation's all of grace. It's all of Christ. It's salvation's of the Lord. And God has shown mercy to me. And I believe that. And it's not that I rest in my belief, but I believe him. We rest in him. We, which have believed, do enter into rest. A resting place is what it is. Christ. We enter into Christ. We enter into the knowledge, understanding of that which he's done for us. We're not trying to establish a righteousness. We rest right now. Think about this. You which believe, I rest in this thought. He's put away my guilt. He shows mercy to me. He chose to show mercy to me. He chose to give me life and to teach me of himself, that he's put away all of my guilt, that he was made sin, hanging upon that cross, holy, harmless Lamb of God, spotless Lamb of God, made sin. And there upon that cross is the guiltiness. Here is God, God Almighty. He hath made him sin. God made him sin. As I've said before, how a deep breath I take every time I consider that passage of Scripture. And there's the Lamb of God, perfect. Made what I am. He who knew no sin, he hath made him sin. There's two words, the source of and the evidence of. One of them is transgressions. You and I can understand something about that. The transgressions of it, the evidence of it. We think evil thoughts, we do, we say evil, we're mean, we just, you know, that's the evidence of it. Where did it come from? What was the source of it? That's what He was made. That's what the Word is. He hath made Him the source of it. And Almighty God in infinite wrath put away the source of it, the dead of it. Put it away. He hath made Him sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Not in ourselves. Now we rest right there. That's where we rest. We rest right now from the sting of death in the grave. What if God takes me tonight? Well, I rest in Him. I'll tell you this. He's all we got. He's all we need. He's all in all. We rest. This rest is the present rest of the soul, established in regenerating grace. As long as there's doubts and fears in our minds, there's no rest there. Ask somebody, what do you, in what or in whom do you rest your eternal soul? Well, I made a decision for the Lord. Well, let me ask you this. When you made that decision, have you think you've ever deviated before or after that in yourself? Oh, yes, I have. Well, let me tell you something. You don't have any hope. Not in works of righteousness that we've done. Well, I trusted the Lord. If you're trusting in your trusting, I'm telling you, salvation is all of grace, all in myself. I'm nothing. I can do nothing but rebel against God. That's all I can do. That Almighty God would have mercy on this sinner. That He saved me by His power, by His grace, by His mercy. Charged, imputed to me His righteousness. What right do I have to stand before God? Accept it. Accept in the Beloved. Do you think a man will ever stand before God and claim his self-righteous works? I can show you in the book of Matthew where some will. The Lord says, many will say to me in that day. I'm talking about this is a day of judgment. Many will say, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. All of it. And He'll say, those that were trusting in themselves that they were righteous, depart from me. I never knew you. Listen, there's rest only in Christ. There's rest only in Him. There is no other rest. I'm telling you that the high priest himself, the great high priest, my federal head, that He lived for me and died for me and answers for me even now, right now. That's all my hope. That's all my hope. Nothing that I've done, could ever answer for me. As I've said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, what He said right there is, I swear in my wrath, they shall not. All that believe Him, we which believe do enter into rest. And that second part, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter in my rest, means that all that believe not God, concerning God's work of grace for the sake of Christ, in Christ, if a man refuses that, he has no hope. None. This is God's rest, established, maintained by God Himself. sworn his wrath, they're not going to enter in. All that believe not the Son. A few weeks ago, I preached a message on what is to come to Christ. I'll tell you one of the things that I do remember, that those 7 or 8 points. Forsake everything else. And I use that scripture where Paul says, I was born of a Hebrew, of the Hebrews, the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised the 8th day, and on and on and on and on. And he said, all of that I count but dung, that I might win Christ. Looking unto Him, don't look to your profession. Don't look to your profession of faith. Your profession of faith is going to fail you. I'm going to tell you right now. Christ said, I'll never leave you. There's a big difference in looking to your profession of faith and looking to Christ. It's the difference of life and death. We which believe do enter into rest, as He said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter in my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now I want to look at 4 things, 4 works. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, 4 things. And I don't under any circumstances want to say that I'm going to exhaust the works of God finished from the foundation of the world. But there's 4 things that I want to just mention concerning the rest that we enter into right now. Now we enter into rest. You that believe, do enter into rest right now. The Spirit of God has taught you that. He sealed you to the day of salvation. His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're the sons of God. You have no confidence whatsoever in the flesh. You're resting in Christ. And somebody asked me one time, I've mentioned this to you before, they said, well, how do you keep people in line? How do you keep people in line? I said, I don't. I'm not going to keep you in line anyway. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. You don't have to worry. No. God will lead His children. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. We hear the voice of the shepherd, we follow Him. You preach the gospel. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach the gospel and I'm going to just wait on the Lord. And God will direct His sheep. You try to drive a sheep, and I'm going to tell you something. You don't drive God's sheep. You scatter them. You preach the truth to them and you comfort them. That's what you do. Comfort the people of God. 4 things. 4 eternal acts. Although the works, that's what I'm looking at, that the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Here's what we want to look at for just a minute. What has Almighty God done? Established. Finished. From the foundation of the world, that now has taught you, you that believe, and you rest in Christ concerning these 4 things. What are they? Here's the first one. His love for His people was an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Now you know this. You know that no man can come. That has to do with ability. No man can come except the Father, which has sent me, the Lord Jesus Christ said, draw him. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to just turn. I saw something today that was so... Turn to John 1. I don't want to go too far in this because, Lord willing, I'm going to preach on it here in the next few weeks. Turn with me to John 1. Look at verse 43. The day following John 1:43, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and find a Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. The Lord found Philip. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip, the one that the Lord found, said, Follow me. Findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, Come and see. Now, let me tell you, the wisdom of that answer right there. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? This is what Philip said. Just come see. You know what I would do, as I've told you before? Just invite somebody to come. Just come and sit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just come. Just come. Now look at verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Did Nathanael know that he was coming to Christ? No. Nathanael heard Philip say something, and Philip said, We found him. Spoken of Moses, prophets, Jesus of Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said, Come see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Here was prevenient grace. Grace before quickening grace. Somewhere along the line, you came and you sat under the gospel. You sat under the gospel of God's free grace. How'd you get there? I don't know. Mark, you and I were Catholics. Don, you're Catholic? I came up Roman Catholicism, then my mother converted over to Southern Baptist. Frying pan into the fire. And how did I get here? Somewhere along the line, one day my mother told me, I'd like you to come hear this preacher, you know. Who is he? I said, Henry Mahan. I said, Who? I came and heard in time. Now, I'll tell you this. The Lord saw me coming to Him. I didn't know it. I didn't realize what was going on. I was just going. Maybe you came here. Maybe some of you fellas came here. Maybe y'all were dating somebody. I don't know. How'd you get? I'll tell you how you got here. He drew you. He put you here. Why did He put you here? I've loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. All those that God Almighty has everlastingly loved, He's going to put them under the gospel. And they're going to hear. And I'll tell you this. All those that He's everlastingly loved and all those that He's chosen in Christ are going to come to Him. His people are going to be willing in the day of His power. Boy, I can rest in that. You mean to tell me I just didn't get here by luck? You mean to tell me I just didn't happen to just show up one day? No. No, you see, He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. He doeth as He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Now, Mike, I can rest there. I can rest there. You see, that's God. That's God. God Almighty. Here's the second thing I know that was finished from the foundation of the world. Our rest is established in God's eternal election. Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Well then, you mean that our rest, the rest that we enjoy now, the rest that we have in Him who is our hope, we rest in Christ. And you mean to tell me that this rest that I experience, there's a word right there, you know, we don't want to ever use sometime, but I'm going to tell you something. Don't tell me that you don't experience it. I mean, it's an actual, yes, it happened. It's regeneration. It's new life. It actually happened. You mean to tell me that my coming to Christ because He drew me, because of His everlasting love for me, that He, before the foundation of the world, chose to show mercy to me? Yes. Yeah. He absolutely elected, chosen. That's what Ephesians 1:4 says. He chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy. What, holy in ourselves? Without blame before Him in ourselves? Only in His Son. I can rest at that. God Almighty, how can it be that God would show mercy to this sinner and choose me in Christ? Here's the third thing. Our rest is eternally established by our relationship to the bridegroom. Now, He's the bridegroom. And if He's a bridegroom, which He is, He has a bride. His bride. Hosea 2:19, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment, in loving kindness and mercies. Our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ is His bride, established in righteousness. His. For me to be robed in the wedding garment. That's His righteousness. I'm robed in Him. I was just going over some of the notes the other day, or yesterday, trying to rewrite them. And I was reading one of the verses there, and the Lord says, and I will give them my new name. The Lord said, I will give them my new name. Can there be anything said to be new concerning the Lord who is eternal? What the verse of Scripture means is, it's new to my understanding. Not new to Him, but new. He said, I'm going to give you my new name. I'm going to understand in time, in regenerating grace, you're my husband. You are my husband. He said, I betrothed you to myself before the foundation of the world. You've always been my bride. I loved you before the foundation of the world. I loved you in the fall. I loved you when I redeemed you. I've always loved you. And I called you. Robed you in my righteousness. Before I ever knew Him, in regenerating grace. He looked upon me as His beloved. I am my beloved, and He's mine. Go back and read Song of Solomon sometime. Refresh your memory. We went over that. Remember, we studied that book. The bride, she speaks to him. And here she is, just looking at herself and struggling and struggling. Can it be that He would look upon me in mercy when I have such a hard time even reading His Word, and I can't even keep my mind straight while I'm trying to pray, and I'm His wife, His bride? Can it be that He still would have mercy on me? And I go back and I read in Song of Solomon where the Lord said to His bride, He said, "You've ravished me with one of your eyes, stolen my heart." Can you imagine that He would look upon one that He's everlastingly loved, washed her in His own blood, washed her from the guilt of sin and rebellion, robed her, looks upon her in absolute mercy and compassion. He said, "I've always been your husband." I can rest in that. And then lastly, our rest is established by the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. That's what Revelation 13:8 says. "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him." That is, if you read that in that context, you'll understand that it's the beast that He's talking about. "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship the beast, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." You know when the Lamb's book of life, remember this? Lamb's book of life. When was it written? If you want to see it, Revelation 17, verse 8. "The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world." I told you before, I'd always heard that there was a recording angel, that when someone gave their heart to Jesus, the recording angel wrote their names in the Lamb's book of life then. Well, the only problem is that's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says that the book of life and all the names were written in that book from the foundation of the world. Almighty God looked upon His people in mercy and compassion and justified them. Justified them from the curse of the law. Justified them from eternal separation from Him. Justified them from eternal death. Justified them. In Christ, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. Remember, He said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." He always saw that blood. He said, but He didn't die until about 2,000 years ago. God Almighty always saw it and first trusted in Him and justified us freely by His grace, based totally on the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father was the first one to trust in Him. Let me ask you this. Is He not worthy of our trust? God the Father trusted in Him. The God-man, the Son of Man, there's a man, the God-man, there's a man in heaven seated on the throne of God. There's a man that God trusted in. Carl, you think about that. There was a man that God trusted in. The God-man. Totally man. Totally God. God Almighty trusted in Him our surety, and all that He accomplished. God Almighty imputed that to me and accepted me totally in Him, the Beloved. This is my Beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Now you think about it. What are you resting in? Are you resting in your profession? Are you resting in your baptism? Are you resting in your church membership? Anything that you're resting in that is not Christ, who is our hope, you're resting in that which is going to absolutely be to your condemnation. When Christ, who is our hope, shall appear, then we're going to appear with Him. These works, God's people are going to enter into rest in time. Regenerating grace, they're going to know it. God's going to teach them. They're going to perceive it. And they're going to walk in this world struggling with sin. Struggling. And while they're struggling, they're resting in Him. And that old flesh is going to war against the Spirit, and vice versa. And they struggle. They're contrary one against the other. But I'm going to tell you something. You rest assured. There's coming a time when God Almighty is going to put away even the presence of sin. So shall we be with the Lord. Father, I will that those that You've given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Oh, the rest of a believer. We rest from our works, self-righteous works. Before, that's all we had, self-righteous works, and rested in them. That's what, in our minds, our dead minds, we rested in, well, I've done the best I can. Oh, listen. There's one hope. Look to Christ. Rest in Him. For Christ's sake, amen.